Michael, we welcome you to the...
What a great day it is for me to be here with all of you. And I have to say that finding God's delight for me is as simple as spending a few moments in my shoes. And that was the first idea that I thought of as a sermon title. And then in conversing with Del, I can see why that the theme of today's service is God's delight. So as it being National Mental Health Awareness Month, I want to start off today by sharing a few facts with you. And a mental illness is defined as a disease that causes mild to severe disturbances in thought and or behavior, resulting in an inability to cope with the ordinary demands of everyday life and routine. Most people believe that mental illness is rare and that it often happens to someone else. In fact, mental illnesses are very common and widespread, and there is an estimated 54 million Americans in a single year that suffer from mental illness. There are 200 types of classified mental illness. Some of the more common illnesses are depression, bipolar disorder, dementia, schizophrenia, and various anxiety disorders, which cause change in behavior and may change mood, personality, personal habits, or the person may become socially withdrawn from the world. And most families are not prepared to cope that a loved one has been diagnosed with a mental illness, as when this happens, they become vulnerable to the opinions and judgments of other people. Now, I want to share a little bit about my journey, and that is, as Pastor Del said a few moments ago, I am currently in discernment as a member of Shadow Rock and in covenant with the Southwest Conference United Church of Christ for authorized commissioned ministry. And I am currently working towards my Master of Arts in Christian Studies with an emphasis in pastoral ministry and Christian leadership, and will be done in August of 2017. And let me just say that where I completed my undergraduate coursework, I'm glad that my mental illness is as stable as it is right now, because completing my coursework at the time, I didn't know that I was walking into a more conservative online university where I got to experience people telling me how a minister should do their job and how a minister should go in to people's homes and save them from their sinful ways. And I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. So I completed my Associate of Arts degree in Christian ministry through the online program at Ohio Christian University in August of 2013, and completed my Bachelor of Arts degree with honors in leadership and ministry just a little over a year ago in March of 2015. Now, as I begin to dive into more of the mental health portion of my message this morning, and as Pastor Del said as she was introducing me at the beginning of the service, I am one of the 54 million Americans with a mental illness that I live with every day. And many people look at me and think, oh, he's got it all together. He can do everything, you know, everything's easy for him. He's got his life together. That's not the case. And having high-functioning autism, well, I'm able to get up and speak in front of people and share my story, but oftentimes it's difficult for me to socialize with people my own age because I can be very shy at times. It is difficult for me to tell whether people are laughing with me or at me. I don't like any change in daily routine, and I have a high sensitivity to loud noises such as fire alarm. For the next couple of minutes, I want to share a couple of stories that have really, in a sense, caused me a lot of pain, but also, in a sense, have really worked their magic which has helped shape who I am, and it has also helped shape my call to commission ministry. And the first story that I want to share with you, and if anybody has a sensitivity to loud noise, I just want to explain and share that I will be smacking my hands together in a moment here. So when I was in high school, I entered high school in 2001 and was actually bullied out of high school. There were days when I would refuse to go to school because I didn't want that vulnerability, because I'm not that easy to hide in a crowd, as you can see. So I enrolled in this alternative school for students who needed a smaller setting, more individualized attention from the teachers. And as time progressed, the school became more centered around students with severe behavioral issues. And so every Wednesday and Friday, we would have activity day where we would skip our six-hour class. And on this particular day, this young man came into the school building after being searched, because if you weren't on the right level, you had to be searched by a staff member to make sure that you were safe for students and faculty. Now, on this particular day, this young man asked me to sign up for the sport, which was soccer. And the more students that signed up for the sport would often, you know, the more chance we would get out and to go and run off some of that energy after sitting in a classroom for five periods a day. Now, this young man, after coming into the school building, he asked me to sign up for soccer. And being the nice and generous person that I am, I agreed. Now, keep in mind, there's also other activities that you could choose to do. There'd be a classroom with a movie, arts and crafts, board games. And then if you didn't earn enough points, you'd have to sit in detention for the hour. So this young man approached me and asked me to sign up for soccer, and I did. And afterwards, he offered me a high five, and I graciously accepted. Now, I'm thinking that, you know, I'm just going to get the sting from the high five. Little did I know that he had a thumbtack taped to his hand. He basically took the scotch tape, put it around his hand, stuck the thumbtack to it. There you go. The second story that I want to share with you this morning comes from my early attempts at continuing my education after high school, and that is trying to go to a local community college in Phoenix, where I drove from yesterday. And this professor, I gave this particular professor the paperwork for my accommodations, the ADA regular, you know, the accommodations. And one of the accommodations that I had was to be allowed to use a little tape recorder to record the lectures. And I kept going to my professor, and the professor said, "I didn't give you my paperwork, you know, all of this." And so one day I decided to go and meet with her during her office hours. And unfortunately, this is what the professor said: "Well, I'm not letting you record the lectures in my class because I'm afraid you're going to go online and try to sell the lectures and make money." So I'm like, what the heck are you thinking? Do I look like somebody who is capable of doing that? I wouldn't even know where to begin. I'm not a techno geek. You know, I'm not one of those people who is very familiar with that type of technology. Now, the third story I want to share is the one that begins what has led me to this moment today. And I had the opportunity to attend the Southwest Conference UCC church camp on numerous occasions. And each of the family groups that were part of the camp curriculum, they were asked to lead a little mini worship service each night. And on this particular night, there was some reflective and meditative music playing. And I thought, well, at the time, you know, my parents were in the process of getting divorced. My dad had some issues with how to cope with a child living with a mental illness. And things have gotten better, but they're still not perfect, and I don't think they ever will be, but I'm grateful that things are starting to slowly change. And I had yet to make any new friends at camp, and church camp is now at Emmanuel Pines Camp, but when I was attending camps, they were held at Mingus Mountain, and both of these camps are in Prescott. And I remember thinking to myself, well, if this was how people were going to treat me at home, and then if people were going to treat me at camp, I was thinking, what's the point of living? I was like, I can't do this anymore. And actually, to add to the tougher week, I had to attend a memorial service of a youth group friend of mine who took their life very tragically. And so the next thing I know, as I'm sitting waiting for this little worship service to start, I hear this voice. And the voice said, Michael, this is not your time yet. You don't want to do this. You know, you have purpose in life. Many people have helped me get to and become the person that I am today. And I feel that I am being called for a commission ministry to become a disability ministry consultant in the UCC, where I would go around and speak to churches and educate them on mental health and how they can become more accommodating and welcoming to people with mental, developmental, and physical disabilities. So I want to end this morning with a few thoughts, and that is the story that I shared a few moments ago with the college professor who I felt was sending me a message that they did not want me to succeed in their college classroom. One of the thoughts that came to me was this, and that is, whenever somebody tells you that you can't do something, are they the ones who are telling you that you can't do something, or are you the person who is putting up that roadblock, telling yourself that you can't do something? And oftentimes when we experience a time of transformation and revelation in our lives, whether it is a time of joyous celebration or is a transformation that alters your lives in unexpected ways, know that it is perfectly okay to enter into a time of reflective discernment where there may be a time you ponder the question of what team is God a member of. And that's okay to ponder that question. God will still love you no matter how many times in life you ponder that question. And no matter how many times you face unexpected obstacles that present a challenge where you begin to doubt yourself and your abilities, don't be afraid to go back and start at the beginning. Because no matter what, I am certain that God has a path for each of us to follow. And no matter how long it takes, you have the opportunity and the abilities and the gifts to turn your distant dreams into real world reality in whatever you choose to do in life. And finally this morning, no matter how many times you find yourself doubting God's presence in your life, when you find yourself experiencing a time of transformation, I want each of you to remember this one thing. Always remember, and I'm going to say this twice, always remember that God is walking beside you on your journey. And more importantly, remember always that God is your biggest cheerleader. Always remember, God is walking right beside you. And God, most importantly, is your biggest cheerleader. Amen.